recording, ain't it?
Is it? Make sure anything goes wrong.
We start. Starting now.
Go ahead, chat.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Fresh and Fit Pod. My name is Chad with my guy Jimmy Slim, Jimmy James Abrams, and we got a very special guest today, hailing all the way from where are you from, bro?
Cleveland,
Ohio. What?
How you doing, man?
We got my guy Marquez Evans,
aka
Cleve
Slim.
Oh, okay,
Slim. Cleve. Yeah, good to be on the show.
That's right, man. Cleve, I'm so glad that you're here, bro. You know, you're about the only other person here with some sense on the show.
Nice.
You know,
I appreciate that.
I have to deal with Chad by myself all the time, bro. And it's honestly a rough task, bro.
I'm trying to figure out why y'all start the show with that all the time. It's just, is it playful banter or is it this kind of
it's an emotional
thing you got? Or is it emotional?
What's that? Emotional masking that he has.
No, I do not understand why y'all start off with such negativity. Can we stop, please?
Well, you know what it is? Usually I want to choke him, but yesterday,
yesterday I saw him.
So yesterday I saw him. So I'm a little. Actually, I'm actually a little tapered down. But
tapered down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I'm exhausted from my event. As you guys know, as you can tell by the fur, I'm an artist. I'm a rock star.
Oh my god.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so I'm gonna be wearing this all week because I'm an artist and I get to do what I want. You know what I'm saying?
Well, let me say that it was a great event.
Thank you, sir.
What was the name of the show?
Art-ish.
Art-ish. I mean, nice. I'm absolutely just elated in the way that you put the show off. It was great. Everything was set up nice. It was dope. And the artwork, bro.
Yeah, thank you.
Come on, man.
Yeah, it was nice, praises. Bro.
Come on, man.
Praise. Thank you, bro. Thank you.
Yeah, man. It was nice, man.
So I just want to say.
No, I'm going to interrupt you real quick. Because first of all, he Google imaged all the pictures.
No, I did not.
I'm just kidding.
But I
do have something that I want to give you, bro. So I wanted to make this a special moment on air. Yeah. Folks, you're witnessing the first ever gift exchange, one-sided gift exchange on the Freshman Fit Pod.
Yeah. What is it? What could it be?
So.
Okay.
James, that's for you, bro.
It's probably gonna be some beer oil.
Come on, unwrap that, boy.
Yeah, show the viewers.
Hey, man. That's nice, bro.
It's some ranch dressing.
That's nice. Hold it up, man.
If you guys don't know, they call me ranch because I be dressing. You know what I'm saying? So we got the ranch dressing, but we also started the ranch dressing award. So this is pretty symbolic. So thank you, Chad.
So I'm gonna let you. You'll be my vote for this week. Also, I gotta tell you, man. I knew it was meant to be. I went into CVS right before the show. Shout out to CVS. They had one bottle left.
Wow. Mm.
One bottle. When I saw it, I said, "This is either a sign, or this is a chance for me to be really petty."
Yeah, both, obviously. But yeah, man, I'm very excited. I don't think when I got the vision for the art-ish show, I was overseas, and I just thought about it. I'm like, man, I really want to do art. It's my first time doing an art show. I wanted to present, you know, just kind of like come out to the world. So I always thought, like, you know, if I ever did like a grand opener or something like that, I always try to make it big.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I was like, man, I got to get a band. I got to get a poet. I got to make it so that people want to come and have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
12, I was like, I got to get drinks so I can get them drunk so they can buy the art. So then that was my goal. So I was like, let me get people in a good mood so they can buy some art, have some fun. And then I was like, and a lot of people don't know that I'm an artist, that I actually paint and do all my paintings myself. So people were like, who did this? Who does your work? I'm like, this is my work. So that's why I had to do the live demo, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. Yeah. And so then the partnership with Jack Daniels is really what put it over the top. I think they were able to come through the shoe giveaway, the branded stuff, the drinks, the all that, you know what I'm saying? The bandanas, all that stuff, all that branded material. So it was pretty dope and able to work with them and for them to get behind that. It was awesome. So I really enjoyed that part of the experience, man. And I enjoy just being able to connect with people. We had some good COVID safe protocols, and then we had some not so good COVID safe protocols. But you guys, you know, it is what it is.
Let me tell you something, bro. If you don't have COVID by now, Somebody might have got it last night.
Yeah, somebody might have got it last night. Yeah, you might have got it.
You know what, man? I got to say, so you, just the fact that you're doing art now, it made me think of, and I'm not trying to compare you to this guy, so I'm not trying to give you a bigger head, but Sylvester Stallone, bro.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal artist.
He is.
I had a chance to see one of his exhibits in Vegas about a year and a half ago. And just got some just amazing stuff. But I think you sometimes forget that these very talented people, yourself included, it's not just a singular focus. Like, just because you're really good at one thing doesn't mean that's all you're good at. It's kind of like the notion of like the jock. Like, right. All you know how to do is lift weights or to run the ball or throw or jump. But there's so many other talents.
And that was something I always wanted to battle that. Speaking of being an artist too, you know, being an artist, I think a lot of people kind of like stray away from that because being an artist, there comes a stigma with being an artist. Like, it's always like you're weird, you're this, you're that. But then I started kind of embracing my weirdness.
So we knew this about you, and that's why we love
it. Yeah, it ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I think people just get too weirder about being weird. You know what I'm saying? We knew that. That raccoon.
I was hot.
It was in there talking to him.
Team me up, James.
But being weird makes you, and it's a word we kind of associate with it, but the truth of the matter is, being weird is really just a side of you that is you as a creator. And as a creator, we all have the ability to create.
Right.
I think we shy away from it because we think that people are going to shun us for our creations. It's about people's opinions. And the people who are not afraid to do that are the people who make it in the world. They put their stuff out and say, hey, this is what I am, this is what I believe, this is what's created in my mind. You either love it or hate it. And then they find out that there are people who gravitate toward their creation because they all are creators. People long to create.
That's what we were created.
Because we were created. That's right, by our creator.
And plus, weird is really a matter of perspective. What's weird to me isn't going to be weird to somebody else. That's a matter of opinion and perspective.
So, if you guys don't know who Marquez Slim Cleave Evans is, he is a CrossFit level coach, level one coach. He's also a pastor. He's also a motivational speaker. He's a published author. He has done a lot of cool things.
Rapper, musician.
He's my big bro, someone I go to for advice often, and I don't really listen to a lot of people, so it means for me to go to him for advice means a lot. Very knowledgeable guy, very well read. So Chad and I wanted to make sure that he came on the show because he is our brother, and I think that he needs a platform, or he doesn't need a platform, but he deserves a platform to get a lot of his thoughts and things out. So I'm glad you're here, bro. So enough about me. I just want to make sure we get back to why we're here.
I appreciate it, bro. Yeah, glad to be on here, man. You two mean a lot to me. Very, very dear brothers. I mean, I like brothers. If I couldn't get any closer to people, it's these guys. That's true. It's very few people in our circle. But we A1 with it. Value, high value men. It's a beautiful thing.
Not to mention, you have an incredible fitness journey.
Yeah,
it's a fact. That for people that maybe have met you in the last 2 or 3 years may not fully appreciate, but you were Big Cleave for a number of years.
That's the truth. I got up to 315 pounds. Now, the backstory is I was an athlete, played at Marshall University, was ranked 7th in the state of Ohio in basketball at one point. And tried out for the pros, and when I didn't make it, got extremely depressed. And anybody who ever had an idea of making it to the highest level with potential to do so, I was one of those people.
I call that baller withdrawal.
It is baller withdrawal.
When things don't work out, when you're an athlete or you're a big time drug dealer, or you're doing something anything. like when you're a major, and then you have to come back down to reality a little bit.
Yeah.
You suffer from what we call baller withdrawal.
Yeah, it happened to me, and so I ballooned to about 315 pounds. Had very, very bad habits as far as eating, as far as stuff I put in my mind, people around me. It reflected some of my friendships. The people around me were 300 plus at that time. And then when I decided, with the help of some of my brothers, to really, get my fitness back, I dropped 100 pounds, man. You know, literally.
And you didn't drop. You dropped about 1,000 pounds. You lost a couple of those big friends of yours too.
Yeah, absolutely. No, but it's true. What happens is when you pursue something, you have to get in your mind you're gonna lose something.
Yeah,
sure. And a lot of people don't understand it. Even when you become confident in yourself, when you go after the things that you want, dreams, aspirations, you have to be willing that if you want to go up, you got to give it up. Yeah. And so I gave up certain foods, and I mean, trial and error, I started working out. I got into the modality of CrossFit, which was totally different from anything I ever done. And it was so difficult at first. You had little old white women running past me, former athlete, and they running past me laughing. Come on, big man. I'm like, mother's, you know what I'm saying? And I had to keep coming back and keep coming back, and my back would go. We would play basketball. I'd dominate, and I couldn't play for 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
I had to call off work the next day.
And I said to myself, it's not about quantity. A lot of people want to live long, but they never take into consideration how you live.
Yep.
And so I wanted a quality of life. Yeah. And so I put in the work, man, and lost 100 pounds, and now I'm slim, please, ripped in my 40s, looking amazing, you know, silver fox, feel good about my life. But it all had to do with really disciplining myself and taking that, you know, that challenge.
So what would you say is the moment, can you pinpoint a moment where you were like, this, like, I got to get myself together. Like,
man,
my body,
I saw a picture, first of all, of me, and I just, man, I couldn't believe it was me. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, that's me? You know what I'm saying? And then when you get to a place where you want to go and enjoy yourself on a beach or something, everybody popping top, you cannot. Or you trying
to. That's the worst. Being at the beach with a t-shirt on.
Oh, man, come on. That's the worst thing.
That's not good for it. I was there before.
I was in ministry. I was on the plane at the time, and I was on the plane with some people and a couple. And the couple was kind of large, and I was large, and I was so, it was a 5-hour flight, and it was the worst, on the way to Vegas, worst 5-hour flight I have ever, when I get off that plane, my back hurt so bad.
Did your knees hurt too?
No, oh, bro, you know my knee was on the back of that thing. So I had to lift the seat back like, sit your seat up before I kick you and your mother. But anyway, so at that moment, I realized, I said, man, this ain't living.
Yeah.
The homie said, let's go for a run. And I get to the corner. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not living. Your kids want to play.
Yeah.
And or your kids laughing at you because, daddy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? You know what? I know what's under here.
Yeah.
I know who I really see myself being. And so I made a vision board. I went to work. I changed my habit. I do intermittent fasting. I fast for 18 to 20 hours a day. I do smoothies. I get all my protein. I make sure I get my good greens in my life. And so I have the vitality of a 20-year-old, man. And I'm in a business now in sales. I'm around a bunch of young people, and they can't keep up with me. You know, so
yeah,
that sparked my journey.
It's actually, you know, what you just said made me think of something. And we also got to make sure we also acknowledge today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
On the set.
Yes.
I was just reading something, an article about him today, and he said something that you sparked. You sparked this when you were talking about your vitality or, you know, your heart.
Yeah.
So they said that he had, the autopsy reports, he died when he was, or was killed when he was, what, 38, 39?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The autopsy said that he had the heart of a 60-year-old, and they probably attributed it to his stress.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So how do you, and really for any of us, how do you deal with stress? Like, what's your way of dealing with it?
Yeah, well, part of it is I pray. Every morning, I'm up at 3:30. Me and James had a little competition back in the day because he knew, this is the thing I tell people about having the right people. Your network is your net worth, right? You got to be careful who you have in your circle, because if they're not adding value to you, they're going to devalue, right? So me and James, one day, he said, what time you get up, Cleve? And I said, man, I get up around 4:30 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, 4:30. Oh, I got to get up at 4:30 then. Right? So now I get up at 3:30 because I believe that you have to set the precedent for yourself. So for me, it's prayer and meditation first thing in the morning, right? I pray. I'll pray to the Most High. Some of y'all, if y'all know, we're really into understanding the scripture. So we pray, and I pray, and then I do a 10-minute meditation where it's me in silence and I'm meditating. And you can do guided meditations, whatever you want to do. But I center myself and prepare myself for my day. I set the intention. And so it deals with a lot of stress. And then I go coach, and then I work out. I do the hardest things first, because everything else after that is easy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's how I deal with stress. Working out has been absolutely beneficial. Prayer is absolutely beneficial. And I'm going to tell you one thing. Food will affect your mood, too.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so if you eat a lot of junk and you're stressing out, you kind of trying to, you know, taking on what you're eating. If it's synthetic or not authentic food, then, you know, I like live foods. it makes you feel alive, you know? And then I make sure I'm not around people who cause a lot of stress for me. If you cause a lot of stress for me and I identify that, I'm hanging up on you.
Cut it out. So one thing that you brought up was your spirituality, your faith, things like that. Mm-hmm. What, so like we've known as far, especially in the Black church, mm-hmm. that we kind of promote unhealthy lifestyles.
Yeah.
You know, eating bad foods and stuff like that. What do you attribute, or what do you think is the relationship between spiritual health and physical health? You know, well, what I'm saying? Like what's the relationship there? Because I think there's something that we're missing, because yeah. a lot of people are preaching bad stuff.
Well, this one thing we don't understand is that the Father created us in a holistic way. It's a symbiotic kind of lifestyle that we should have that comes with everything He gave us. We came from the earth, and there are minerals and things that we get from the earth. But the reality is that what we've done is replace non-food with real food, right? So in the scriptures, when you look in the scriptures, in the beginning, they were put in a garden, and He told us specifically what we needed to eat to have optimal health. After a certain time period, you have to realize that people make money off of your ill health. It's called dis-ease, right? And with that dis-ease, you cannot, if you understand that the health system is a business,
yeah,
right? But the Father wants us to have optimal health. When you're physically fit, you put yourself in prime position to be, first of all, mentally fit, and allows you to be open spiritually, right? To what the Father may be saying to you, or whatever He wants to use, or whatever you call Him, depending on who you are. But He does specifically speak to people and get you in line with yourself. So if you're spiritually healthy, you're going to do things that make you physically healthy. Then your relationships begin to work, because the confidence you have in yourself and knowing who you are and knowing what you were made to do will attract people who are valuable for your life. And eventually remove people who are not.
Eventually, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? If you're praying and you're eating right and you're taking care of your body, listen, people who are insecure won't stay around. People who have no value won't stay around. If you're about your business, people who ain't about their business won't stay around. And that comes from knowing who you are. When you physically fit, when you feel good, you act good. Listen, when you look good, that stuff works together. When you know you're in line with your purpose, it's amazing.
You know, it's interesting what you just said, because, you know, eating and working out are very community-based. You tend to connect with the people you know, unless you work out at a gym where you maybe just do your own thing.
Yeah.
But if you have go in a class setting, you typically build some type of relationship with those people around you. And then plus just eat. You eat every time you get together with people, you're normally eating something.
Yeah, doing something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those two things bring people together. And I can see how those are so connected to your health.
Overall. I mean, in a modern church, you used to go to church and you go eat.
You eat.
You go to church, you go eat.
In the basement or what?
And yep. I'm
fried
you,
chicken.
And then we had a nerve to be praying over food.
Bless
this food and take all the impurities. Yeah. You're not taking out the fried chicken impurities and all the cheese you put in that macaroni. I love macaroni. Just don't get it twisted. But at the end of the day, you're not about to take any impurities out. When we look at the scripture, when the Mashiach, or Jesus for y'all, who was with his disciples, when they were eating and then they would stop eating and give thanks. And He broke bread and He gave thanks for what they were already eating, because they were eating what was kosher to them. It was healthy. And I think a lot of us have this misnomer that we're going to pray away the bad. You're not going to pray away the bad in your relationships. You're not going to pray away the bad in your health. You're not going to pray the bad in your finances. You're not going to pray away the bad, none of it. If you don't do what the scripture or what your belief system says, then and with no action, me and James talked about execution. People love to dream and have ideas, but they have no execution. Faith in James chapter 4, faith without works
is dead.
And it's the same thing with your health. It's the same thing with your relationships. It's the same thing with finances. If you don't put the work in, it's dead. Stop talking.
I just want to first of all say this is probably the first episode that I could tell my parents to watch.
And I'm being nice, because you know I can use some explicitives and superlatives. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So I would love my mom to watch this episode as well, but not just kidding. No, man, but amazing. Cleve, I think you brought some great points. Another thing I want to talk about is the fact that you are someone that people see as a leader, as a as a motivator and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that pressure? Because what Chad talked about as far as MLK, mm-hmm. he had the pressure of basically America, mm-hmm. all the blacks in America on his back. Yeah, he was hated.
He was hated by
so many people. And mm-hmm. I feel that you felt that before. Mm-hmm. But like, how do you handle that pressure or knowing that that's on you? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's two things pressure does. It either busts pipes or it makes diamonds. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to go from and I was just teaching on this, if you want to go from the comfort zone in your life to the fear zone, to the learning zone, and to ultimately the growth zone, you have to be able to go to the fear zone. And part of the fear zone is dealing with the opinions of other people. If you truly believe in your purpose, what can a man or woman do to you?
Why do people care about other people's opinions?
But the advent of social media has been a detriment to so many people.
Yeah.
Because likes and dislikes are now what people, you know, attribute to their value.
Yeah.
Like, come on,
you're
man.
Constantly comparing yourself.
Oh my goodness. The end of the day, if you don't believe in you, nobody else will. And if it costs me my life, then that's all it's going to cost me. It's my life.
Yeah, and if you're not confident, you know, I'm always amazed when you hear these celebrities that say, "Oh no, I'm not on social media." Mm-hmm. So that's someone else that runs that page. When you're not confident in who you are, you're going to look to someone else to either stroke your ego or to affirm something mm-hmm. that you, maybe an idea or a thought that was planted. Mm-hmm. You'll want something affirmed because you may not be confident in that.
Yeah, I think we all look for that type of comfort, at the same time, though, like that's something that I've taken on is no fear, man. Being fear, like working through fear. I'm not saying I don't have fear. Mm-hmm. I definitely have fears. I definitely have anxieties. I definitely feel like that social pressure. But at the same time, too, I'm just like, man, I'd rather, like Huey P. Newton said, I'd rather down my feet and live on my knees. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like I'd rather go like that. So if people judge me or say something bad about me, do whatever, I'll take that, man.
Then you gotta attack fear head on.
Absolutely.
It's part of the process of growth, and if you're not willing to do so, then you're down in your comfort zone.
Mm. All right, let's go.
Hey James, I don't know about you, but every time I try out a product that maybe I haven't tried out before, or a new product on the shelf, I'm always super eager to tell my friends about it because I want them to experience what I did.
Yeah, because you got a big mouth. You need to shut up.
Yeah, sometimes that's true. Sometimes
that's true. So why not do it easier? Put your stuff on the podcast. You want to advertise it. Guys, it's $250 to be featured at the top of our show, or $150 to be in the middle of the show, or $50 to be put in at our discretion. Basically, best on the floor of the show. You know what I'm saying? So, like, why not do it that way, Chad?
Yeah, and you know what? I like sometimes you see a show and they got some really cool stuff like a mug or a hat or a whatever it may be on their table.
True, true.
We could do that too.
We definitely can do your product placement here, guys. So if you're interested, make sure you hit us up at
tfafpod@gmail.com.
Yes, y'all. That's tfafpod@gmail.com, y'all. We would love to have your products on here. Hit us up. Let's get you going.
Yeah.
Peace. And we're back.
Yeah, so Cleve, man, I know you have a little bit more of this than me. You have a lot more of this than James.
What are you talking about, man?
Are you dye or no dye in the beard and hair? What are your thoughts on this? Because you definitely, you are a silver fox.
No doubt. So my family kind of grays early. And so what I've decided is that I am going to embrace whatever grays that come to my life. Like, it's just either it's meant for me to have them. But, and I think you can make that look really, really good.
Absolutely.
So, I'm going into the Silver Fox Club, and I want to be the guy. I will never dye my hair. It would go all gray. And I got some people I talk to all the time, friends, who are like, man, I'm dying. As soon as I see one,
oh, no.
I'm dying it. I'm not dying it. I want it all to be silver. And then I'm going to have my hats, my brims, you feel me? And I'm just going to kill them. You know what I mean? I'm just going to kill them. With the silver, you feel me?
Yeah, I agree with you, Cleve. I would go. I would let the silver bang.
There you go, man.
I would never die.
People got Bang Jing, like, tripping.
Oh, my God.
Burn their face off.
Beijing. I will say, I have done Beijing a couple times.
Have you?
With my beard.
Really?
In my like early 20s.
In your 20s?
Like a couple times.
And I looked, that's because I looked, it was popular though.
Yeah,
it was popular.
I looked like an action figure, bro. I looked like a Mattel, you know, Action Jackson or something.
I'm not doing it. Right. I'm not doing it.
By day two, I actually look kind of normal.
Okay. Yeah, it's good. All great for me. I'm letting go. I'm letting go great. Yeah.
Now, one thing I am going to do, I'm going to fight for my hair as much as I can, right? So right now, I have a little roof missing. I've been getting treatment. I got me some Hims. I got some drops. I got some shampoo.
Started the process.
I got some hair gummies. Bro, I'm not going out without a fight, bro. That's on everything I love, bro. You ain't, if I'm going bald, it's going to be because I exhausted my possibility.
Your bank account.
You know what I'm saying?
That's where the hat's gonna come in like big time for me. If I go bald, like my cousin, he went straight bald. He cut all this, and we got really good hair. So me and my family, my grandmother is a Choctaw Indian.
But usually, good hair people go bald.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I told myself that what
I'm not trying to be funny.
So what I've decided to do is that whatever comes my way, you're gonna make that thing look the best. That's it.
I'm with you.
Right? If I can save it, I will. But if my father bald, so it's my but my uncle's not.
So
he still got his good hair.
And we see this in sports, right. When did guys stop rocking the George Jefferson and start rocking the Michael Jordan?
I don't understand how anybody ever rocked the George. It's a donut on your
head. Every 30-year-old is looking like
that. It's a donut on your head,
with a full mustache.
Full mustache got this thing in the middle of your like a landing strip hair, or a UFO. Man, that's that. Oh, I almost did it. I almost ruined the podcast. But the reality, I can't stand it. I hate it. It's like a UFO spotting.
Oh, it's the worst, bro.
It's the worst thing ever.
But you know what? I'm seeing it younger and younger. I'm seeing it younger.
You see, that to me, that says a lot to people's health. Once again, we're going back to health. People losing their hair because they're not just doing the right things. And it's just, I think a lot of things we don't associate to the things we eat, the air we breathe, the stress we take on. Like, some people lose their hair not because they're losing their hair. They're stressed out.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated. What's the connection between stress and losing hair?
A very close family member of mine, all their hair fell out. 2020 was one of them times where the stress factors were so heavy that they brought a bag to us. And I was like, what happened? Stress at work? Stress in home, stress with the kids, stress with all kinds of their hair, it was the reflection. And I think health is a great example of telling you when you need to deal with an internal issue.
So it's just like anything else. So like I tell my clients a lot of times, if you have a high stress like job and stuff like that, I have to tailor or taper my training towards them too, because what stress does, it causes your body to go in basically like panic mode. Mm-hmm. So because it's in panic mode, it will take all your fat and just store it.
Right, that cortisol is.
Yeah, cortisol levels are too high.
Yeah, for sure.
So those high cortisol levels, again, your body's in panic mode. Mm-hmm. So your body's like, well, I'm going to use up all the protein. I'm going to use up all the resources. I'm going to dry your ass out to make sure your organs and everything else function properly because you're under all so much stress. That type of stress, you're only supposed to be under for like temporary situations, like just say you're running from a lion or something like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Fight or flight, like you're not supposed to have that much.
Some stress isn't bad.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have that much stress
over
time. You know what I'm saying? So that causes that.
That's that overstimulation or
Overstimulation.
Overstimulation of everything. We are hardwired by life.
Sure.
Like literally. You're stressing about what you see on TV. If you watch the news, just stop doing it, first of all. There's nothing good on the news. You're on your IG, you're on Facebook, and all you see is the gloom and doom. You're not out in fresh air. You're not enjoying the moments. You're not enjoying your spouses. You're worried about finances. The stress is overstimulating us. And so everywhere we turn, we're trying to be perfect. And that is not real.
Trying to be on guard.
It's terrible. Everything in life is about progress. Are you moving forward? And this is the thing that people are missing. Do you see progress in your life? Not perfection. If I don't have a perfect body, I don't feel. If I don't have a perfect relationship, I don't. No, is there progress?
Absolutely.
Do you communicate? Are you doing stuff? Are you getting your ideas out? And then you got to enjoy the process of life. Because the finish line is not where you're trying to get. I want to have millions of dollars.
There's no finish line.
There is no finish line except what?
Death.
Death. Speaking of finish line.
I like that.
Yeah. Speaking of finish line. So I had set a goal for this month, right, to do 100 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little over halfway in. But I'm hitting this wall, and my knees are starting to feel it, right? And today I was like, man, and this may be something that someone may be going through too. I'm trying to weigh the cost of, I really want to complete this goal, but to the detriment, possibly, of something that I couldn't correct later. So what would your advice be to someone who's like, man, I really got these fitness goals, you know, I got to stay on track, stay on schedule, but maybe something holds them back that they can't control. How do you coach someone through deciding what to fight through and what to be like, just you need to sit down for a minute?
Bro, I'm probably not the best person to ask this question because, and I'll tell you why, because I believe in by any means necessary. And the reason why I believe in that is because I learned a very valuable lesson in a cage one time when I was I wanted to be a fighter. I was fighting. I was having my first sparring match. I was, you know what I'm saying, sparring with somebody. The rounds are 3 minutes apiece. After the first minute, my adrenaline dumped. I was exhausted. I was like, all right, coach, I'm done. Coach told me, look, if you quit now, you will quit in everything you do for the rest of your life. And Cleese talks about this as well sometimes. He said, what you doing one thing, you were doing all things. I read the book, Can't Hurt Me. I'm telling you.
David Goggins.
Yeah, David Goggins. I'm telling you right now, bro, like, do what you got to do to get through this phase, because once you get through this, bro, you're going to look back and say, damn, I'm so glad I made it through it. And you're not going to hurt yourself worse than what you think you are. If you got to, start taking more precautions, icing your knees up at night, resting your knees, elevation, things like that. Do what you got to do. Start putting KT tape on your knees. Wear some old school copper sleeves or knee sleeves. Do what you got to do. But get through this shit. David Goggins once ran, dog, on broken legs. Does that even sound?
Feet was broke.
Feasible?
Yeah, it was just awful.
He ran on broken legs, bro, to complete something he started because he wanted to be a Navy SEAL. Yeah. He's only one of 38 black Navy SEALs.
Ever. Yeah.
So, bro, you going through this, chat, kind of like when we had Boom back on, but it builds something in you, bro. Like I promise you, man, quitting is a habit, all that stuff is a habit, and you don't want to do that. I would just tell you guys, man, I know it sometimes, man, it gets rough. Trust me, I understand, but you got to be able to push through that, man, because that's where the victory happens.
Yeah. Quit becomes a domino to a multitude of failures later on, right? What people don't realize is that failure is not the issue. Quitting before failure is the issue, because there's something that is created in you, a muscle. There's some fortitude and resolve that is given you gain when you're in the process of attacking something. So if you never get to the 100 miles, whatever, the process of doing it, the fact that you will persevere every day to hit the bike and do as much as you can and then do more, is going to create in you another domino effect, which is that I won't give up until I achieve my goals. But once you start quitting, the next thing you know, you quit this, then you quit eating right, then you quit taking care of yourself, then you quit communicating, then you quit saving. Yeah. All of a sudden, quitting. And I was talking to somebody the other day. It is so easy to be a loser. Winning takes sacrifice.
Facts.
It takes dedication, true dedication. And what people don't understand, well, how you lose all that weight? I stay with it. Even when I was feeling terrible, couldn't walk, when I didn't feel like I could keep up with the youngsters, I'm like, man, they out here taking off. Until one day I was in front of everybody. Until one day I was doing more. Until one day I said, you know what, it's not about being young. That's a frame of mind, right? That's a perspective. If you put yourself in the lion's den, you're going to be a lion.
Or get ate up.
Oh, and it's the bottom line. I got around the most craziest dudes. Blue, James, Chad run a freaking marathon, and Marlon and all these other people, Reggie and all these people. We just put ourselves around the most athletic folks. We went in and found other people. And that's how you get better. If you do not get around high value people or people who are better than you, you won't. You will always be around losers, people who make you feel comfortable. Oh, I would have quit. I would have been quit. As soon as somebody say I would have been quit, I just quit on this situation. Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't need to be around you.
Yeah, like, so Chad, it's a difference. I think my coach used to say it's different between being hurt and being injured. Now, yeah. if you run and you get injured and you stop, yeah, that's fine. Take a break. And when you heal up, you gotta get back to it. Get your ass. You gotta start back on from scratch though.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't start at, I stopped at 50. No. You start if you stop right now because you injured.
Well, let me tell
you. The next month you gotta start back over from zero.
I made this commitment today when I got off because I've been doing this on the treadmill too.
Right, yeah. Right.
Told myself, I said, if I gotta walk these last 35 miles,
walk them 35, man. Walk them.
I'm doing it.
It's a drag.
Oh my gosh, bro! That right there will build you up so much, bro. Yeah. That's gonna build you because you gotta build. I'm kind of like, you got to callous your brain, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, callous your brain, callous your hands. Like you do that to make you be able to grab stuff better and stuff like that. It's the same thing with your life. You got to callous your brain because your brain is an excuse-making mechanism. Like, it wants to
keep you safe.
Yeah, so when you're trying to do stuff to upset that, your brain like, no, dog, chill, relax. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's not how you grow. It's not how you get better, man. So definitely, bro, I would encourage you by any means, bro. Go get it. Do what you got to do. Like I said, if you got to walk, you got to walk through. You got to crawl them last couple miles, goddamn bear crawl, bro. You know what I'm saying? If you got to put some wheels on your legs and just crawl and goddamn run like this. Do what you got to do, bro. And what that would do would make you a stronger person.
But see, that's what you watching this. You need to hear this. You really need to take this into yourself. If you're listening to this, you really need to take this into yourself, because you're going to find yourself in life multiple times where you're going to want to give up on something you're going after. You're going to want to give up, and you have to give it its just due. And sometimes you don't get to what you want until the last hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So that right.
Right before you're ready to break.
I mean, think about the concept. Something happens. Think about the concept of a race.
It's the truth.
You can run everything except for that last millisecond. And if you stop,
you're off. It's over.
Yeah.
You're done.
You could run.
DNF.
Yeah.
No. You don't want them DNF.
DNF.
Did not finish.
Did not finish.
What are you after? This is what I try to tell people. A lot of people are after the destination. That's not what you're after.
The journey.
It's the journey. It's the process. That's what, and we have to enjoy the process. You don't want to look so ahead that you forget what's happening in the moment. This moment is happening right now. So we are fully here. We're not worried about what's happening in the next hour or what's going on outside of it. It could be the world could be blowing up. But we're putting our creation by putting our words and our values out here into the world. It's going to change the life.
You brought up a good point right now. I had the art show yesterday. That's over.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
It was a great time. I had a good time.
It's over. It's over.
It's over. It's over. Now, what's next?
Yep.
People ask me, what's next? What are we doing next?
But see, this
and,
is,
I'm already on to the next way.
I already told you what the next one was, bro.
I
already told you.
Oh, that's the next one.
Walking with the white mink, okay? With your contender boxers on. The VIP is going to have... splatter paint.
I don't have nothing to do with that. No, paintball guns.
And
they get to shoot me with paintball guns.
Hey, they going to pay big money for that.
I got the first ticket,
people
bro.
Can't stand
you got the first ticket.
In his contender draws? What's wrong with you, man? Anyway, so listen.
James already thought it.
But look, I was telling people the other day, this is true. It's a true thing. I'm going to say this real quick. It's very important. Once you come out of the comfort zone into the fear zone, into the learning zone, and into your growth zone, what happens is your growth zone becomes your comfort zone. And now you must now make that and go into your fear zone, right? It starts over. Every zone starts back over. So once you get into your growth zone, you think you made it, now it's time to get uncomfortable again.
Bro, so like, there is no finish line, guys. This is what y'all got to understand. This is why y'all need to stop hitting me up talking about I'm trying to get in shape for this. I'm trying to get in shape for my birthday. I'm trying to get in shape for this event. I'm trying to get in shape for the summer. Stop that shit. Sorry, mama.
Dang.
Stop it.
Mama!
What you need to do is get in shape, get your mind right so you can live a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. Stop trying to get in shape for events. Get your behind in shape for your life.
If you want to use it as a short-term goal, fine. Mm-hmm. But long-term, it's about health, right? You have to have that out there. Midterm, you want to say, I want to be in the beach at this time. Short term, I want to be ready for my birthday. But at the end of the day, what happens when you set those metrics is that some of y'all, the only goal is to be healthy or look good for your birthday. and then you go back to your bad habits.
Go right back to it.
And
right.
Let's not. And let's also, I think it's maybe worth, because we've had people on here that this they do the not say the opposite, but there's a distinction between that and training specifically for a competition or a show.
That's different. That's
so
different.
For those of you are like, oh well, they do it. No, there's a difference between that, because they've already had some type of. You're not someone that's eating cheeseburgers all day isn't going to say, I need to train for a competition in 3 months. You should be training already and then specifically train for something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, Jane, no, James just stopped, you know, eating cheeseburgers yesterday.
No, that's not true.
Don't be lying to me, Ricky Bobby. Yeah, don't you put that on me.
I'm training for a bodybuilding show right now. And it's tough because I had to gain weight first. I had to deal with that. Now I'm able to cut down, mm-hmm, so it's difficult. But now I have to, mentally have to shift my mind from eating all the time to now I'm eating limited. Now I'm back on the fasting tip.
I
had to get back mentally into that. So it's tough, bro. It's tough.
But it's part of the problem. Like, if you want to get something done, and James gonna get it done. He got the fortitude and resolve to get it done. He don't care. He gonna get it done. This dude left. I mean, this dude will go get it done. Okay, so I think, and that's part of the problem. James doing CrossFit, he was doing well. He said, you know what? What's the next challenge, right? Went on to Saudi Arabia. What's the next challenge? Now he's back here. What's the next challenge?
And you know what? I'm doing bodybuilding because I know it's difficult. Because it is a challenge for me. It's a challenge. Like, people don't realize, like, I'm really kind of shy for real. Like, I really don't be out there like that. People don't believe that. I know you don't believe that, but I'm really kind of shy for real. So I don't really.
I mean, you might better get that from me.
Your shyness, the way it manifests.
But I'm really kind of. So do you, if you think for 1 second I want to be on stage in my drawers with baby oil on, you're completely out of your mind.
Boom, dude. Boom, when I see you, baby.
But listen. I don't want to do that, but I want to challenge myself in that aspect, in that regard, because I want to be able to better service my clients. And I want to also switch up my DNA a little bit. I want to change my alter my DNA by going through this process so I can hold on to these results long after I'm done. You know what I'm saying? I'm not just doing the bodybuilding show and it's one thing I'm going to do. I'm doing this to transition and transform my body and transform my DNA.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, and I kind of don't believe you. I think you're really looking forward to the baby oil.
Wants to be on stage.
He wants to be looked at.
You know what?
He wants the Speedo.
No, I don't.
He wants it. Damn it! I mean, not in cuss. He wants it. He wants it. But here's the truth: it's nothing wrong with putting yourself in uncomfortable situations.
Yeah,
you can't grow that way. You know, you just can't grow. I think it's dope. You've seen him with the art. You've seen him as a gym owner. You've seen him over there with Princes. Now you're about to see him on stage in Speedos, baby. Let's go.
That's another thing too. Like, so now I'm opening the gym, reopening the gym. Mm-hmm. I'm moving to a whole new location.
Mm-hmm.
I got to cater to a whole different crowd population, like demographic of people. So I have to be able to, and then too, you know me, I'm unapologetically black. You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing I have to deal with people of other races, other colors, other, you know what I'm saying, religions, backgrounds, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I try to always be respectful, whatever, but I don't want anyone to try to influence or try to diminish who I am or change who I am. So I'm uncomfortable dealing with people that I feel might judge me, because when I tell people my faith, I tell people what I represent, what I stand for, people always got something to say, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you one of them woke brothers.
So? I'm woke.
What, you want to be asleep? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but to avoid judgment from people is almost, it's not being of this world.
It's not possible.
I think you just learn how to put, and you've done this, you know this. you know how to put the blinders on.
Yeah. Oh, but, for sure.
Well, here's the truth. What does it matter what people think?
It doesn't matter.
And we usually say that, let's be honest, we usually bring that issue up when it's saying or agreeing with things that we don't agree with.
Right,
Hey, man, you look real good. You're not like, hey, man. Hey,
it doesn't matter what you think.
Don't judge me. Why are you judging me?
But listen.
But you look good.
All you say is you're right. Like, at the end of the day, you should be confident enough in yourself no matter what anybody says.
Like, James, the fact that you got possum on your neck,
bro.
Wear it confidently, bro.
You know what I'm saying? I do.
I would not.
And you probably wouldn't wear a tie-dye t-shirt either, but.
You know, I thought about wearing a tie-dye
t-shirt. Not because I'm shy, because I don't think
I
can do
it. I can do it because I got the 70s kind of 80s look going on.
Because you from there, bro.
I am from that era. 80s, baby.
Yeah.
But,
guys. Make sure, guys, you know what I'm saying?
That's an ish.
Before we get to guys, it's been a great show.
Yes,
I want to say, Marquez, the Slim Cleave. Thank you so much. The Slim Cleave. Thanks so much for coming through, man. We appreciate you, bro. Chad, great show, man. You always coming through and kill it, bro. I'm so glad to partner with you on this.
When our powers combine.
On this journey. On this journey, guys. So, guys, make sure you guys tell a friend, tell a friend, and tell a friend. Make sure you like and subscribe. Our subscribers are going up, guys. We have like 120 subscribers, bro.
We subscribe.
Yeah, we started at like 12.
We started at zero.
Zero, yeah, started at zero. That thing got to 12. So now we on there. Make sure you guys email us. Shout out to the people that won the Ranch Awards last week. We got a lot of positive feedback for that.
Yeah.
You guys, we're gonna be dropping some merch pretty soon. I got a surprise for you, Chad. I gotta tell you about that. Uh-huh. But we're gonna get dropping some merch pretty soon. You guys better pick that up. So hey, y'all, let's get it. We out.
You are.